بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 14th of July in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the sixth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved and exalted mother Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. And I've started the subsection in which we're taking a glimpse into her piety and love of worship. And the last report I mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and the gist of it is that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out to pray Fajr. He came back a few hours later in the time of Duha. And his wife, our mother, Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, she was still sitting at the same place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you still in the same position in which I left you? Have you been sitting here for all those hours? She said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, I have said three times four words. If it was weighed against all that you've done, it would still be heavier. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. So now what's interesting about this blessed report, what worship was she doing in those few hours? There's no details. Was she offering salat, ishraq? Was she reading, doing offering some zikr? Was she contemplating upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We don't know. But what we do know is that whatever she was doing, this zikr, if you say three times, is greater in reward. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. So what do you notice? You notice that our mother, radiyallahu anha, she was very eager to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our maqsad is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created the jinn and mankind except that they should know me or they should worship me. That's the purpose of why we're created. So think about that. And what's very strange about the non-Muslims, they know what the purpose of a tree is. It gives oxygen. What does this do? What does the sun do? And they'll tell you. When you ask them these questions, and eventually you say, what's your purpose? Bewildered. They go, oh, it's just to, you know, live our lives and live a good life. And they start coming out with their theories. We were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at our mother, she's now in that mode. She wants to completely change her life into a mode of worship. Another example of her intense worship. In Sahih Bukhari, number 1986, Ahmad in his Musnad 6-324, Riyad al-Salihin, number 1763, our beloved mother Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, she said, on Friday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered my chamber and I was fasting. He asked me, Asumti Ams, did you fast yesterday? I said no. He said Allah alayhi wa sallam then asked, Turidina anta sumi ghada, do you intend to fast tomorrow? I said no. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fa aftiri, then break your fast. So let's look at this. So was it recorded in Sahih Bukhari? Who's narrating? Our mother Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. Now what's she doing? She's fasting. She singled out Friday. So the Prophet enters the chamber, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks her two questions. That's it. Did you fast yesterday? Meaning Thursday. She said no. Second question. Do you intend to fast tomorrow? Saturday. She said no. Then look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Fa'aftiri, break your fast. Even though you started to fast, break it. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say break the fast? In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Riyad al-Salihin, number 1761. Abu Huraira radiallahu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yasumanna ahadukum yawm al-jum'ati illa yawman qablahu aw ba'da. None of you should observe the fast on a Friday, except that he should then observe a fast either one day before it or one day after it. So here the Prophet is explaining, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't single out Friday for fasting. If you're going to fast on a Friday, fast on a Thursday with it, or fast with a Saturday with it. Explaining further, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Riyad al-Salihin, number 1762, Muhammad ibn Abbad, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, I asked Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibit fasting on a Friday? Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, yes. Because don't single it out. The Prophet said, don't fast, don't single Friday out. In another report, in Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Sahih in Irwa'ul Ghaleel, number 959, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, he once met some people fasting on a Friday. He said disapprovingly, I swear you break your fast because this is Eid. I swear you break your fast for this is an Eid. So look at all these authentic reports. Now what do we take from this? Before you take on any ibadat, you need to confirm whether you're doing something correctly. A lot of people, they'll jump straight in. You'll hear a report, fasting is a great deed, you know, mention it, think, right, that's it. Every Friday I'm fasting. And there's the importance. If our mother erred in this matter, who are we? Radiallahu. And if other people, tabi'een, erred on this matter, who are we? So why? Because Abu Dharr explained, one reason is Eid. And what do we know about Eid? There's no fasting. Think about that. So how do we know that Jumma is an Eid? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in Ibn Majah, Sahih Hadith, Jumma is greater than Eid in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not only is it an Eid, it's greater than Eid. Now look how interesting, when it's Eid, how, you know, what do people do? One thing, the last thing on their mind is fast. They know they can't fast. Even those who fast, you know, in abundance, they stop fasting. Friday, you don't fast. Now, deeper meaning, why can't we fast on a Friday? Apart from, you know, one of the obvious reasons. Because fasting weakens you. So a person goes, well, what do you mean? What would the Sahaba do with their fasts if it affected other acts of worship? They wouldn't fast. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he rarely kept any fast in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose life we've been through recently. In Sahih Bukhari, he only kept the obligatory fast and maybe a few others because he was focusing on jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after the Prophet passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fasted all year except the 2 days of Eid. So what was he doing? He's a faqih. He goes, it's affecting my jihad. I'm not going to fast. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in Tabarani, he only kept 3 fasts every month. So a student asked, dear Sheikh, why do you only keep 3 fasts every month? And he goes, fasting affects my salat. And I won't take on anything which affects my salat. Now what made me laugh there was, he's keeping 3 fasts every month. You know, we think it's all year. But they're the next level, that's like, to them it's like, I can't believe it. You're only keeping 3 fasts every month. That's the level of, you know, the time of the Sahab. So maybe on a Friday, we're supposed to be doing something else. Now, if you look at the day of Friday, how many deeds can you do? You know, think about it. You know, if you can spend a whole session mentioning the deeds from Fajr until Maghrib. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, Friday should be for the hereafter. You don't even think about dunya. Soon as Maghrib comes, you notice there's deeds. Maybe that's another reason why we don't fast on Friday. Because it affects your other acts of worship that you're supposed to be doing. But the howler is, what if you're not doing anything on a Friday? Right? So I'll mention one deed on a Friday. Surah Al-Kahf. The Prophet said, whoever reads Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday, various reports, all his previous sins are forgiven. Another report says, he is protected from all fitna. Now, why is this narration very important in today's day and age? Because fitna is accelerated. So a person is worried about his iman. You know, think about it. Isn't that true? If somebody goes to you, brother, do you think that, you know, your iman's in jeopardy? 100%, brother. Why? And he goes, fitna, brother, fitna. Everywhere I turn, there's something that haram. I can't keep my eyes down. So what are you doing about it? You know, easy, you know, getting depressed over things, right? Read Surah Al-Kahf. It'll protect you from all fitna. Whatever fitna you're worried about, if it's drugs, if it's women, if it's this, if it's that, all fitna it will protect you from. If it protects you from Dajjal, the greatest fitna, lesser fitna is no problem. But that's an investment. But what day do you recite Surah Al-Kahf? Friday. You're supposed to be doing things on a Friday. One person goes, it's too long. Imagine it, right? It's like, you know, your iman's going to be lost. But I can't invest 20 minutes to recite Surah Al-Kahf. Then that means your iman doesn't mean anything to you. You know, think about that. Right? And only going to get worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every fitna that comes is only preparing the way for the Dajjal. Think about that. You know, think of the next great fitna that's going to hit us. You're thinking, oh my God, that's it. No, it's not, brother. Because the Dajjal's not here. It's just preparing the way for the Dajjal. Astaghfirullah. One should also not single out Friday night for Salat. In Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Targhib number 763, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not set Friday night out of all nights to stand in Salah. Do not set aside Friday out of all days to fast, unless it falls within a fasting period that one of you observes. SubhanAllah. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Two things on a Friday. Don't single out Friday night for Salat. Some people, they tahajjud, they only offer tahajjud Thursday night. You notice that? Who's provoking to do that? Shaitan. Right? Because they're not asking. Because it's a holy night, I shouldn't do tahajjud. What night is it, brother? Friday, don't do it. Are you telling me not to do tahajjud? I'm not telling you that, brother. The Prophet said it. Take you up with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not set Friday night out of all nights to stand in Salah. Do not set aside Friday out of all days to fast unless it falls within a fasting that one of you observes. So if somebody is like in the 10 blessed days that are coming, it's obvious you're going to fast, but you haven't singled out Friday. Or you might keep 3 fasts every month, the white nights. It hits a Friday, I haven't singled it out. Singling it out is what Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. Now think about that. Why? One should avoid singling out the glorious day of Friday for both fasting and tahajjud unless it coincides with the regular practice of oneself. So quite interesting. It's a day of worship for the akhirat, but certain things don't do. How fascinating is that? And the Prophet gave you the answer. You don't need to work it out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report, again showing our beloved mother's eagerness to do good deeds. In Bazar Al-Haythami in Majma' Al-Zawaid, volume 8, page 153, states Sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 702 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu relates, when Juwayriyah radiallahu anhu informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she intended setting free one of her slaves, he advised her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather give your slave to your uncle who lives amongst the Bedouins so that the slave may graze the animals for your uncle. Indeed, this will earn you a greater reward. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith, Bazar Al-Haythami and Majma' Al-Zawaid. Now, if you're listening, you notice that she's learning, radiyallahu anha. She's now not done the deed. You understand? Right? Before she was doing a zikr, the Prophet said, added 3 words, 4 times, more reward. She's fasting on a Friday, break the fast. Now she hasn't made that mistake. Because what does the Hadith say? When Juwayriyah informed Rasulullah that she's intending to free one of her slaves. See these lessons, right? Don't do a deed unless you get confirmation. She asked them, what did the Prophet say to her? Give your slave to your uncle who lives amongst the Bedouins so that the slave may graze the animals for your uncle. In other words, he could be a shepherd for your uncle. you will earn a greater reward for feeding that slave. Mm. The Prophet is highlighting where to channel the investment. Mm. You want to free a slave, it's a great deed. Where's the maximum reward? Who do you go to? Rasulullah. He told her what to do. Imagine, could you have worked out? One of your Bedouin uncles in the desert gave the slave so that he looks after the flocks. You will get greater reward. So the lesson therefore is before we do any deed, get confirmation. How do I get the maximum return? How do I get the maximum pleasure? When we were going through Sayyidina Abu Talha's life, when he was going to give his beautiful orchard, he had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Give it to your relatives. And then he gave it to his relatives. Why did the Prophet tell him to give it to his relatives sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because it's the greatest reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Sunan Sahih Hadith, sadaqah given to relatives entitles you to two rewards. One, it is sadaqah, the other is your keeping tithes. Meaning the reward multiplies. In another report, the Prophet warned you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you give sadaqah and your relatives are wanting, your sadaqah is not accepted. See, people haven't got knowledge, right? You know, I'm giving sadaqah left and center. And then you don't want to say, but then you say, brother, you know your uncle. Which uncle? Is the one in Pakistan. Oh, don't talk to him. Is he needy? I don't talk to him. Then why are you wasting your time with sadaqah? But if you say like that, the guy gets upset. Oh, brother, you blasted me, right? Brother, I'm just being telling you as it is. This is what Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your relatives have greatest right to your surplus wealth. Now, this doesn't mean you get wiswas. You think, bloody hell, is it the third? Because you just give. Right? You think, ya Allah, I've given to my... One of the ulama mentioned, as long as you give... You give to your family. At least some of your sadaqah is going to your family. Then you say, ya Allah, I've given some. Maybe there's others who are needy, but please accept this. Maximum rewards. Think about that. Right? And how many times do people do their worship and shaitan whispers to them, keep doing it. Why? Because he knows it's not been accepted. Another example. In Sahih Bukhari, Hudhaifa, one of the keeper of secrets, he saw a man praying. He wasn't even praying properly. Something was wrong in his salat. He goes, how long have you been praying like this? He goes, 70 years. Or something to that effect. He goes, not one's been accepted. He goes, I swear that if you died today, you would die on a religion other than Muhammad's. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine if Mufti Sahib said that to one of us. How long have you been praying, son? 10 years. And he said that to you. He goes, son, don't get upset. You die today, this moment, you die as a kafir. You probably start, you know, taking it out and Mufti's out. How dare you call me kafir? I'm regular part-time namazi. He's telling you the truth. You have to guard the worship, right? The worship has to be every act. And when you're going through the companions' lives, you learn that. Look how she was now waiting. Ya Rasulullah, I intend to give a slave. The Prophet told her what to do. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the beautiful thing is, sometimes you learn something and then the thing that you learn is easier. So you might want to get this reward, for instance. Ya Allah, I need this fulfilling and I need to do this massive deed to get that need fulfilled. You go to an alim and he gives you a one-line dhikr. He goes, yeah, do that, you'll get answered. And you're thinking, how am I going to do this monumental thing to get my need fulfilled? All I needed was that dhikr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, everything has a path. The path to paradise is knowledge. Or one report says it's a shortcut to paradise. You need to learn, right? So shaitan, these are the games he plays. First he'll say, don't do it. Don't worship. You're a young lad, flana tinkler, right? You fight him off. Then he'll turn the dial the other way. Go for it. Right? And he'll provoke you to do something which he knows is not being accepted. So you have to keep asking. Only the other day, you know, you get these fruitcakes, astaghfirullah, right? In Salat, he walked back for no reason. He's terminated his Salat. Think about that. You know, I don't mention any names, you probably know what I'm talking about, astaghfirullah, right? He just walked back for no reason. He's terminated his Salat. Right? Think about that. Is he guarding his worship? The same person, is, you know, there you go in it. Like there's a saying in English, lunatics are ruining the asylum. I think about that. You go to an asylum, who's running the show? Lunatics. Astaghfirullah. And the other thing is, everybody's become mufti now, you know, mashallah. After the coronavirus, I think it's affected the brain as well. Astaghfirullah. Right? Subhanallah, reflect, my dear brothers and sisters, how important it is that before embarking on any act of worship, to first ask the learned in this regard, so as not to make any inadvertent errors or to lose any much needed further virtues. You want two things. I want the deed to be accepted, and I want maximum return. You go to the people of knowledge. Look at that beautiful report. You know, you can sidetrack so, but it's very important. The mass murderer, you've heard the hadith. He killed 99 men in Sahih Bukhari. Imagine he's killed, you know, we're just saying it, but think about these human beings he's killed. He's killed human beings. 99 men, right? They keep telling you about corona. It's not a statistic. There's lives, right? What about hadith, brother? 99 people he killed. He goes to, look what the hadith says. He first goes to a worshipper, an abid. So he goes to the worshipper, he goes, well, this is my situation. I've killed 99 people. Is there any way out for me? He goes, no, no way out. The hadith goes, he killed him. 100 people he's killed now. Right? Then it says, he goes to an alim. Read the hadith. When he goes to the alim says, who am I? Who are we to get in the way of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I suggest that you go to this certain place. Leave your locality, because that's where you're getting affected. Go to this other place. There's righteous people there. He goes, and on the way he dies. And he is now, the Prophet ﷺ said that the angels of punishment, the angels of reward and honor came. And they started arguing. The angels of punishment, they said, he's going to hell. He's killed 100 people, right? The angels of mercy, they said, no, he's looking for, you know, he was looking for a way out. Whilst they're having this argument, Allah Ta'ala moves the entire earth a little bit, so he's closer towards the place he's going to. Then Allah Ta'ala says to the angels, they're totally oblivious. He goes, measure. If he's closer to the scholar, he goes to hell. If he's closer to the place he's determined to go, he's successful. And think about it, I don't know what tape measure they were using, right? You know, angels, even they got measurements, right? So they measure, and he's closer. So what do we take from that beautiful hadith? You go to a worshipper for your understanding, you're ruined. You go to the alim, right? The alim is giving you the correct guidance. Now that doesn't mean the worshipper was corrupt. But when it comes to understanding the deen, you don't go to him. Have you understood? Right? He made a mistake. He went to the worshipper because people are impressed by worship. Oh, look, he prays, he prays Allah. Let's go to him. Doesn't want left from right. No problem, brother. Right? Then you go. And then you go to an alim. Who told you that? Astaghfirullah. Who actually told you that? You know, this big buzurk. MashaAllah. In conclusion, with regards to the worship of our beloved mothers, we also have the following most informative report. Now, this is something unique to our mothers. In Tabarani, in his Kabir 23-374, Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, volume 7, page 65, Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq, volume 45, page 108, Sayyidah Salama radiallahu anha, she relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen attentively. It is not permissible for anyone in the state of janaba to enter the masjid, nor for any menstruating woman, except for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wives, Fatima al-Zahra and Ali radiallahu ta'ala. I have stated this so that you do not become erroneous. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So the narrator is our mother, Salama radiallahu. She said that the Prophet said, listen carefully, meaning this is something unique, you need to understand that Allah alayhi wa sallam, nobody can enter the masjid if they need to have a bath. So if you are in a state of ritual impurity, you cannot enter the masjid, or a menstruating woman. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, there's exceptions. One is myself, I can. Now think about that. People, you know, I don't know what planet they are. The Prophet's a man, just like me. And then you go, can you go to the masjid and measure state of impurity? Astaghfirullah, blah, blah. Of course I can't. What about Rasulullah? Don't tell them that, they'll come out somewhere stupid, right? You said Rasulullah, he can. That's why he's like you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, what did the Prophet say? All my wives. Meaning they're not normal women. Jawairia is not a normal woman. She can't enter when she's having a menstrual cycle. She can't enter the masjid. Mm-hmm. Look at their status. Then he said, my daughter Fatima. She can. And Ali. Subhanallah. Mm-hmm. The one who's the father of the grandsons of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, that's knowledge. Now if you saw Ali entering the masjid in a major state of impurity, you'd think, well, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for him. There you go again. You have to take an ayah. You need to know. You need to learn your deen. The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all his noble and pure household. Amen. So all I mentioned today was basically taking a glimpse into the love of worship of our dear mother Sayyidah Jawairiyah radiyallahu anha. And notice we learn most valuable lessons when going through the lives, especially of the august Ahlul Bayt, those who are the family members of our beloved Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi min shaitani, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu al-azim.